to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Good evening and welcome to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcoury.
And I'm Shirley Heyman. Tonight we're going to be talking about, well, something that a lot of your teenagers probably have just finished, and that's exams, GCSE, A-levels, and I guess for some of you it's been quite a stressful, exhausting time, and for others you've coped with it well. And, you know, how was it for you? Was it a project you had to micromanage? Was it quite emotional in your house? Are you exhausted? There's so many different ways, aren't there, that parents tackle this challenging time of year. But tonight, we hope that we're going to be able to help you think about that, ready for next year and the future. Because in the studio tonight, we've got a guest who is a local mum. She's got four children. And she told me recently that she's actually already supported her some of her children through 8 of the 12 sets of public exams that this family is going to go through while the children are growing up. So actually, I think she's probably very qualified to help us tonight with this subject. So it's Dr. Harriet Strange. She's living in St. Albans. Harriet's a part-time GP and a mother of three boys and one daughter, and she's also a pastor's wife. So we're looking forward to hearing from Harriet, but before we even do that, I just thought it was important tonight to hear some of the voices of the young people. And so we got some young people to tell us how their exams had gone and how they felt maybe their parents could have supported them in a different way, or indeed, you know, were the parents just marvellous at helping them through this period. So I'm just going to start to quote a young man called Mark, who's 17, and he's comment was, "It's really helpful if your parents try to make everything that happens when you're not revising not stressful." For example, he said, you know, he doesn't want arguing happening during his revision breaks, and he doesn't want to be asked to tidy his room. And instead, he said, can parents permit students taking exams to do something that they want to do? He said, "I don't want to spend my time arguing to get my turn on the Xbox during my hour's revision, my break from revision." And even this 17-year-old acknowledged, actually, you know, parents need to micromanage the timetable in the house during this exam period, which I think is quite interesting. And I think that's something that actually Harriet has had a lot of experience at. So, Harriet, welcome. Thank you for giving up your time tonight. I just wondered if we could start the question that Lydia and I were thinking about, Harriet. You know, do all children need the same things to help them prepare for taking exams? What do you think?
Well, good evening. No, I really don't think they do. I think you've got to start with the individual teenager, with the individual child, because they don't all need the same sort of support through exams. So firstly, you've got to know your own teenager, and you'll get clues about how they will come the big exams, by the way they've prepared for it or not throughout their school career. How do they cope with SATs? How do they cope with and prepare for internal school exams as they go up through the system? And then how do they cope with their mocks? You need to know what sort of temperament they have and understand how they learn best so that you can support them in the best sort of way for them. Because if they're really organised and focused and internally driven, then you'll need one sort of support. But if they're laid back and very relaxed and believe everything will just work out fine, whatever they do, then they'll need another sort of support and encouragement. Or do they get really stressed and anxious, in which case you need to be thinking slightly differently about it. And then how do they learn? Do they know how they learn best? Do you have some idea of how they learn best? Do they like to learn out loud and like talking through the material, or do they just really want to be left to their own devices, shut away in their room and come out for these Xbox breaks and nice food or whatever?
Yeah.
Or are they really visual learners and they want lots of highlighters and lots of paper supplies? But whatever they're like, they're all going to appreciate a calm house, even if their rooms are really untidy.
Yeah.
Regular, predictable meal times, and parents who aren't themselves overly busy and stressed, and somewhere quiet to work, and oodles of encouragement, whatever they're like.
So, I mean, you're saying then, Harriet, that actually the preparation for the exams begins way before that exam period kicks in, doesn't it?
Yeah. But once you've got to the exam period, you've got to kind of know how they operate and what you're going to need to do best. You can wait until the exams themselves, but by that stage, you're kind of scrabbling around to make up lost ground, perhaps.
Yeah, sure.
And Harry, so you're saying get into your child's mind, if you like, and understand how they think and how they prepare. I mean, is that something that as soon as they start school, you start putting those pieces into place, trying to understand what way your child learns? Or is it really like, do children develop differently at different stages? In primary school, is it completely different to secondary school? What do you think?
I don't think it's completely different. I don't think you need to be worrying about it when they start reception. But just as your child grows and matures and you see them develop, you're going to get a feel for what they need and what supports them. I mean, some children do get very anxious about SATs, for instance, in year six. And if you know that, then you can prepare for that as they go through to the exams. And those sorts of children are likely to be quite stressed when they come up to the big exams, where the ones who didn't even know that they were happening at all are probably going to be slightly more to the laid backs. But you start to get a feel at that sort of stage, and that then becomes more apparent once they get internal school exams at secondary school.
Thank you. You know, Harriet, when we were chatting earlier in the week, you were saying that, you know, as the mum in your household, for example, and this is your job for a while to help your children through this period, what kind of things are you going to be doing, you know, to prepare yourself, like routines in the house? I don't know. You know, are you letting them have a little bit more freedom than they usually do? How do you start preparing your home to cope with this period?
I think first thing I did was really make sure my timetable was reasonably clear of the things that I didn't need to have in it. Obviously I'm still going to work and maybe there'd still be big family events, but I didn't put extra things in that were going to make me busy and stressed. There were other times of the year to do it. And I probably was more relaxed, like the tidy bedrooms, you know, that can... You know, a bit of dust for a few weeks wasn't going to harm anybody, so you could have let that go, you know, providing there was nothing rotting on the floor. The smell wasn't too bad, then that was fine. So just kind of not the time to be working on those kind of life skills that perhaps you want to encourage them at other times, because the exam period is fairly short, that you can let it run for a bit.
But you're right, actually, you know, and it's the kind of thing that, you know, as a parent, you could quite easily get stuck in a rut of, you know, kind of trotting out the same stuff. But it makes sense. Let it go when it comes. They've enough on their plate. Mm. It doesn't matter if the windows aren't sparkling.
Ooh, I don't think my windows are ever sparkling. That's probably not been a problem for me.
Right, Harriet, can we ask you another question? Or give another comment from Ben, who's 16 years old. It's been a very stressful time, but rewarding in some ways to see how I've managed to pace myself and keep going. The exams have been very stretched out over more than 6 weeks, which has been really hard. It's helped to have a strategy and be organised, lots of breaks, snacks and coffee in between my schedule of revision, which I stuck on my bedroom wall. I have my own little routine to keep stress at bay. It's undermining when the government recently said that GCSEs are being revamped because they are too easy, right in the middle of when we're trying to work for our exams. Absolutely. I mean, I hadn't really thought of that, but what bad timing of the government to come out and mention that. What do you think, Harriet, about that comment from Ben?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, the government's continuously changing the exam system, and I think even schools, the parents certainly find it hard to keep up with, and so do the children. And you know, when they were all told, you know, this big thing about the GCSE English results last year, I think they found that quite unsettling. And you're right, perhaps there would be better timing for announcing the changes. And I think when they feel demoralised when they've worked really hard and got really good results, and everybody says, but exams are so much easier than they used to be. I mean, because it could possibly be that children work much harder than they used to, or teachers are much better at teaching than they used to. You know, there's lots of other explanations for the figures, aren't there? And they do get a bit fed up.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that parents are definitely, I would say, on the whole, more engaged than they were when we were kids. Well, I mean, there was, I don't know about you two, but I mean, my there wasn't a question of my parents helping me with homework or projects or in any way. There it just wasn't an option. You know, you got on with it yourself. But it's great for kids that parents are more engaged nowadays, you know. But this Ben's routine sounds great. What a mature young man, you know. He sounds like he's really on top of it and knows how to make it work for themselves. Harry, do you think that is more typical of how young people are preparing for exams?
I think they're very much encouraged to do that by the school. They're given sort of revision timetables to fill in, and they are given quite a lot of skills and encouragement. They have study days often just to look at the way they study and try and learn about themselves and help to prepare. And then you can just encourage them with that. Obviously, you'll get some girls, but it tends to be girls, who'll spend hours doing beautifully coloured timetables. And it's not. And the boys might be scribbled on the back of an envelope. And I know I'm stereotyping here. I'm sure there are boys who colour in their timetables. But, I think they often are quite, a lot of them are quite organised. But some of them just need a bit more help and supervision. And they, you know, you need to say, can I have a look at your timetable? What had you planned to do today? So if you haven't planned anything, can I help you write one for today? How long do you think your break should be? Just kind of give them a bit of encouragement about how they're going to go about planning their time, planning their week, planning their days.
Harry, I've got to admit, actually, that I'm one of those mums that says to my daughter, I think they were harder in my days, because I don't ever remember anyone getting 10 A stars like lots of children seem to do today. So I guess that's my next question, really. You know, do you think the grades really matter these days? Because, you know, the employment climate is different. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's more important than ever, because especially at the moment, this kind of time of austerity and recession, there's a lot of youth unemployment, and that people are going to take on youngsters with qualifications. You know, in the 1960s, only 1 in 25% of the population went to university, and now it's 50%. There's a lot of jobs require a degree, and they require the qualifications that you need to get to university. And a lot of the jobs that were there used to be there. My grandfather left school at 14 and went to the bank and worked his way through. Those sort of entry level jobs, they're just not there anymore. People are expecting a higher level of qualification, and a lot more jobs are in the knowledge economy, maybe up to 50% of jobs in the UK, and they just require more skills. And so they do have to, it's right that they're working for the exams at the moment, and right to encourage them in that, I think.
I mean, so what about helping the children to think about the outcome, you know, before they even take the exams? So do you have any suggestions about how you might prepare them in case they don't end up with these grades that they've been predicted, or, you know, is there anything that we can do?
I think you've got to think about those sort of things way back from the exams themselves. It's not something to sit down at the kitchen table halfway through their exams and say, have you thought what you're going to do if you fail? Because they might get quite upset. But perhaps if when they're mocked, you get an idea often with their mocks, you know, perhaps they're not doing as well as they hoped. For a lot of children, that's a good bit of encouragement. They don't get what they wanted in their mocks. They start to work really hard. But for some of them, you might start want to think, you know, have you thought about what you might do if you don't get what you want? You know, have you thought about alternatives? And see how, but they'll run with that, help you, think through with you about what they might do if they don't get into the sixth form, if they don't get the grades they want for university. What other pathways are there through? And help them think that it's not the end of the world. There will be other things they can do. Because despite what I said about there being more jobs for high qualified people, there's lots of other routes through, perhaps. Yep. More flexible routes through BTECs, all sorts of different qualifications, apprenticeships. There are other options. And even if they're not happy to engage with thinking about it, perhaps you could yourself, if you think, I'm not sure how they're doing, could you have a little think through it in advance?
I think that's really, really good advice, Lydia, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I hadn't thought about that, actually.
And the thing about it is, I forget that we, how big a role parents have in those kind of things. Is it always right to get that proactive, though? I mean, should you nudge your children to kind of come to conclusions themselves? Or how involved do you get? Because there's a lot of talk about over-parenting at the moment as well. What do you think about that concept, Harriet?
It's almost impossible to get the right balance, isn't it? You feel that you're lurching from one side to the other. I think you want to try and work with them. So you want to help them start to think about the process and then help them think through the process rather than making all the decisions for them. But they don't want to get to GCSE day, as happened to somebody I know, and her son hadn't done the work and didn't get the grade and wasn't in the sixth form he was sure he was going to be in, and then had to suddenly think on the 17th of August or whatever it was what he was going to do and be scrabbling around for school. So you don't want to leave it stand so far back that actually it's very difficult for them. Obviously, there are children who aren't supported and who will make, you know, will be take the responsibility and make those decisions. But I think it's nice to work with them in tandem if you can, without making all the decisions for them, giving them enough space to make their own decisions, but supporting them.
And Harriet, can I ask you another question? I mean, quite often, I mean, the children that we've kind of heard from so far have been sound quite motivated and organised. But obviously every child isn't completely motivated. What about somebody who's not necessarily a self-starter? Have you got any tips for how to encourage them, shall we say?
I think a lot of it's about keeping the communication open to why aren't they engaging? Do they not want to go to the sixth form? Is it the kind of the over-involved parent wanting to live out what they want for their child rather than them owning the decisions for themselves? So try and get underneath their skin to see why it is they're not engaged. Is it just because they just don't want to do the work, in which case it probably is worthwhile to point out there are consequences to do that. Obviously there's lots of other routes through life, and there's the more scenic routes which some people choose to take, that take slightly longer to get you to the desired destination. But they've just got to think that there are consequences, and that they're actually, if they don't do the work, then they won't be in the sixth form with their friends. And that's fine. If they want to go to FE College and do something else, that's absolutely fine. But not working now might mean that. Mm-hmm. So they just start to begin to live with consequences of what of their decisions.
I like the scenic route.
Yeah.
It's a very diplomatic way, isn't it?
Lydia, I know you wanted to ask another question. Just before you do that, I just wanted to quote from another one of the young people in St Albans, who said that he thought, you know, parents might like to hear that it's actually not helpful if parents accuse the students of not doing enough revision, or tell them that they haven't done enough, because he said if they already know they haven't done enough, actually they just end up feeling sort of more guilty and bad about it. So I think that's interesting, isn't it, for us parents? You know, is it a certain sense of trust in our young people?
Well, that's exactly what I felt. I remember when I was in school, like, I mean, I was up studying till 10, 11 o'clock at night, and my mum meant well, but every time I'd come down, she'd go, do you not think you could do a little bit more? It's like, would you not go up for another 5 minutes? It's like, I need a break, you know, and it is demoralising. I think you do need to trust your children. Harriet, what's your experience?
Yeah, I think you do. One of the things we did do, though, was sort of way back from the exams, we decided that we agreed that I would be able to ask them occasionally how they're getting on, and whether I thought they were doing enough work, and that they wouldn't fly off the handle. And so we had a kind of pre-agreement that that I would just check they were keeping to their timetables without nagging, and that I would back off if they told me to go. But we actually talked about that in advance.
That's excellent. That's a great idea, actually, to have that conversation in advance. And I like it that you said that you had that conversation again so that they wouldn't fly off the handle when you did mention in time. That's excellent. That's great prep. But
although they were absolutely convinced that their father only ever saw them when they weren't working. And they said, that's because we're downstairs when we're not working. That's when he sees us.
Well, he's hardly going to sit in your room watching you study.
But interestingly, this chap says that he would like to reassure parents that actually young people learn from their own experiences, and hopefully they're going to mature by the time they sit the next set of exams. So I think that's pretty impressive, isn't it, for 17 to be thinking like that.
God, it really is. But it's great to hear that. I mean, no parent wants to be sitting on their child's back the whole time cracking the whip. No. I mean, nobody wants to do it. Now, I do have one more question for you, Harriet. Now, I've got two preschoolers, and we have a very busy social life. And I was wondering, does the family life have to change during an exam period? I mean,
I think most teenagers would be grateful if it did.
Right.
So they need a bit more space. They want the place quite calm, and they want parents quite calm. And so you can still do some of the things you'd normally do, but not in such a way. Perhaps when they're not doing exams, I'd say, oh, you can make yourself tea, and then could you walk yourself down to the station and just get on with yourself. And perhaps the exam times, I'd do more cooking, more planning, more running them around. just for that period, and not organise big family events, or if there was a big family event that's unavoidable, give them plenty of warning so they can put it into their exam timetable. And perhaps other things I might have said, oh, you have to come out with us for lunch. I'd say, actually, you don't need to come to this one. I'll just send your apologies, you know, for this occasion. So, yeah, we did make quite a lot of adjustments to family life just for that short length of time.
I think that can be a big change, can't it, for a family then, if you've always had quite a busy, active social life, family around, in and out, you know, popping out for lunch on Sundays, and suddenly no, the children's kind of routine is the thing that and really has to be adhered to
down quite dramatically. That's very helpful, thanks Harriet.
So that Harriet doesn't feel she's in an exam, Lydia.
She's talked a lot. Yeah, do you think we should give her a little break?
Shall we give her a little bit of a break?
I think that's a great idea. And actually, we're going to be speaking to, just a couple of seconds, we'll be talking to Marnetta from Relax Kids, which is a really interesting company, stroke organisation that's around at the moment. Stay with us, we'll be back in just a couple of seconds.
92.6 FM.
Welcome back to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, as promised, tonight's show is all about exam stress and how to kind of unwind after it and how to kind of cope with it at the time and how to have the best environment for your kids. So we have a guest on, join us on the phone right now. Her name is Marnetta and she's from a company called Relax Kids. Marnetta, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Thanks very much for joining us this evening on the Parent Show.
Pleasure.
Listen, tell us a little bit about Relax Kids. What's the ethos behind the company?
Well, pretty much does what it says on the tin. We're here to help children and teens relax and feel better, feel confident, manage their stress and anxiety, mood swings, etc. by very, very simple relaxation methods, visualization, mindfulness, breathing techniques. All these things that have been around for adults, but I've done it in such a way that it's easy for children and teens to comprehend.
And how do you get the children to learn these meditation techniques, or how do you access them?
Okay, well, we do teach classes, and I do it in 7 steps. So we do warm-up and movement, we play relaxation games, we do stretching, we practice breathing exercises, we do self-massage or massage, peer massage, affirmations, and then we take them into a deep relaxed state with the visualizations. And actually, I set this up about 10 years ago, and I was originally a children's entertainer, and over the years I noticed a change in children's behaviour in the inability to sit still and listen. And having practiced meditation myself, I felt that this would help children. But the concept of meditation or relaxation, visualization was a bit new then. So what I did is for the younger children, I took all the fairy stories and turned them into simple relaxation techniques so that they could grasp hold of a story. They could be in the story. They were Jack climbing the beanstalk and floating in the clouds. So that's how I started. And it just seems to work and captures their imagination.
It sounds fantastic. And tell me what age groups your products or your CDs and courses range from.
Originally, it was pretty much for the the 4 to 10-year-old age range. Now I have a CD for toddlers where there's really simple relaxations going into very simple songs that really lulls them into a deep state of sleep, hopefully. And then we do have an MP3 for teens as well, so we go right across the board.
I'm thinking of my fidget of a 4-year-old hopping around the room, and I just, how does it work on that age group?
Well, not every single child takes to it straight away, but with regular practice, I think also the fact that it works so beautifully with at bedtime. So you read a story, and then maybe you read one of these relaxation stories, or you pop on the CD, and they think they're still listening to stories, but the very simple relaxation techniques like squeeze your hands, relax, or stretch and relax. It just, with the visualization, it takes them into a lovely deep state of relaxation, and often they just fall asleep. I've had parents come to me. One lady said she had never had an evening with her partner, and her child was four, and she said, I'm emailing on the third day now, and he's asleep in 10 minutes. Normally one of them has to stay up till midnight. And, you know, it's just sort of the calming music, the calming voice, as well as the techniques, it helps.
That's fantastic. Mm. And so tell me about the work with teenagers. So, I mean, is it specifically geared towards exam times or just generally teenage stress?
Yes, definitely works very well at exam time. But I do think these sorts of techniques and methods need to be started earlier on, whenever you can, really, so that they are prepared, they have all the tools and the skills that they need, so they know how to breathe deeply, how to use a positive affirmation, or use some very simple little technique to just calm their mind, calm down their breathing, and feel better and feel less stressed.
That's great. It makes a huge amount of sense to me, Marnetta. I'm sure there's a lot of teens out there that have had a rough few weeks and could do with exactly that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, do you have young people approach you directly, do you think, or is it the parents that normally come searching for some, you know, support for their children, their teenagers?
It is going to be the parents.
Yeah.
And a lot of schools now use these techniques, but I used to exhibit at exhibitions, and there were a couple of times where teens would come up to me and say, "Oh, I really," and they were a little bit shy and reticent to do it, but they just sort of, they had their money and they thought, "I really want to do this at bedtime or homework time, just before homework," and I felt that was fantastic that they had the feeling to do that. Because I know for teens it's difficult. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because if you, as a parent, buy something for the teen, they're going to go, well, no, I don't want that.
Mm.
Even if they may want it, but because you bought it,
yeah.
And yet they're not necessarily going to come and get it themselves, or maybe don't even know that it's available.
That's right. I mean, would you like to just sort of say how people get in contact with you, or your website, or
we do. There's a free pack, a relaxation pack, including a 21 days to relax, where I've got exercises for 21 days, and various things, as well as an MP3. Just go to the Relax Kids website and sign up to the pack. There's a little star on the right hand side, and you'll get it there, and then have a look at the CDs. We've got blog posts on various things to do with relaxation and anxiety, stress. There's plenty of information. You know, we're here to help, so if anyone wants help, support, go to our Relax Kids Facebook page or the website, and we're here to help.
Great stuff. Marnetta, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
My pleasure.
All the best.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Community's Voice. We're Radio Verulam.
Welcome back to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
And tonight we're talking all about how we support teenagers, although some of us are finished doing it, but, you know, getting ready for next year, through their GCSEs and A-levels. Just before we go back and talk to the guest in the studio tonight, I have a comment from a 16-year-old girl called Izzy, who said, well, it's stressful as you want to do well, which depends on how hard you work, but you don't want to burn yourself out. So partly it's as stressful as you let it be. So I thought, Lydia, again, quite another mature comment from a St Albans teenager.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, hearing what these teenagers have to say makes me think that I could imagine them contacting Relax Kids easily and kind of going, you know, I need a bit of meditation to get me through this. And, you know, they seem confident, competent.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great to hear that.
I'm just turning back to Harriet now then. Harriet, what do you think about rewarding children for achieving grades? Because I know we had a conversation about this, and you've got quite definite views, haven't you?
Well, I think it's not it's something that we as a family chose not to do, although I know lots of families who do it, and they find it motivates their children just to work harder and to be focused on the end result. But that's not... I think one of the problems with rewarding for grades is that different children have different innate academic abilities. So some children will be very bright, will do a minimum amount of work and do really well, and others will work really, really hard and struggle even to get their predicted grades. And so it just seemed within our family to be a little bit unfair. So we tried to reward for attitude, effort and hard work rather than for the outcomes, which we felt was slightly out of their hands. So each child after their GCSEs, if they'd worked hard and had a good attitude, they went on a special trip that they were involved in planning, and they've done various things. So the oldest wanted to go walking in Skye, for instance, with his dad, and that was a great time, and that was before the results came out, so it wasn't in any way dependent on them, and that worked well. But I think each family has to find out what's the kind of key for them, what works well for them, how can the parents acknowledge how hard the children have worked as for themselves, what's going to be a good strategy.
That sounds lovely, doesn't it? So encouraging. Yeah. and it's that's what I mean. So many kind of experts who talk to you on how to motivate your child say, it's trying that's the most important, and giving your best, and that's the most important thing. And that's a very clear signal if we do it the way you suggested, Harriet.
That's definitely a lesson for life, isn't it? So the children are seeing it's not because I got the A. Actually, my parents valued my attitude towards that.
Yeah.
So I really like that. Thank you, Harriet. My other thought actually was, being quite honest, I think that I can't help my daughter now with half the stuff she's doing, particularly in science and maths. I'm just being honest. I want to say I'm embarrassed, but actually I'm just honest. Harriet,
I haven't a clue.
Can a parent tutor their own child? Do you?
I have and do, and I think lots of parents do actually. And sometimes you don't have to have a good grasp of the subject yourself. You just have to be prepared to sit there with the textbook and test them. So you don't have to have a detailed understanding yourself. But it does get a little bit harder with maths as they get a bit older. And I think lots of parents do. I know lots of fathers who've tutored their teens through their A-levels. And in fact, my own father helped all of us, especially with mechanics. He was an engineer and he was really good at that. And actually, it was quite a good time of bonding. I remember those times with fondness as he put the vector on my diagrams. And so it was a good time. And but I think you've got to have the right sort of relationship with your child. So you've got to know how you work together. Are you a good team? Because sometimes teens do find it difficult to work with their parents. You push each other's buttons in just the wrong way, and it can be counterproductive. And it may be better to have somebody external, a sort of professional outside tutor, to help if your child's struggling with a particular area. On the other hand, you've got a lot more flexibility. You've got time. You can fit it around your teen's own timetable. You can help them in the areas when they need support. I think you certainly can, and I think a lot of parents do, and it works really well. But you just got to know your child and what's going to be helpful for them.
Yeah,
that's great, Harriet. Thank you very much. Now, can we ask you, what are your top five tips for a stress-free, I don't mean that ironically, exam?
Okay, I'm not sure that I can achieve a stress-free exam time for you, but the things I've thought of were, just know who your child is. It's getting to know them over the years. It's going to prepare you for this exam. The exams don't come out of the blue. It's really on the background of working well together and knowing them well. Secondly, know where are they in their kind of revision, in their preparation? Are they well prepared and just have got everything under control and just need some nice meals? Or are they way off the pace and they actually need you to sit down and do the planning? So know where they are, and you'll get some feel for that, especially as the years go on, from parents' evening, from previous exam results. So work with the child you've got. Be flexible and supportive at this time. It's just a time for perhaps just letting other things go, picking your battles much more selectively, being really encouraging, not pointing out the headlines that say GCSEs are so much easier than they used to be. I think ahead. You have plenty of warnings for the big exams. They're coming. You can plan ahead. as a mother, you can plan ahead with your own timetable. You can plan ahead for the family's timetable, and so you can think how it's going to work out. And I can't read my handwriting, Shirley, so I'm going to have to look at your notes on the last one. I've got terrible doctor's handwriting. And I think the other one was what we've just discussed, which is really about encouraging them to focus on the working hard, on the process, on the skills they can learn through the exams, rather than just the results. So they know that you value and support them, whatever the results are. Because some teenagers will not get what they hoped for and what they predicted, and they want to know that they'll be disappointed enough for themselves. They want to know that you're not disappointed in them. They want to know that your love and support is just as valuable when they're teens as when they're toddlers, and they want to hear that from you.
Harriet, thank you. I mean, it's just, you talk so fluently, and I can tell a lot of it is from experience, and I'm sure there's going to be many parents out there who are going to feel that they've learned a lot from you tonight, so thank you for that. The thing for me, I don't know about you, Lydia, is just I feel really reassured when Harriet described it as the scenic route.
Yeah.
You know, actually, they don't all have to do it at 16 and 18. Mm. And, you know, I'm working with people who are doing degrees when they're in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And just as enthusiastic. And yeah. So that's really reassuring, Harriet. Thank you for pointing that out to us.
And particularly the thing that I'll take away particularly from what you've said, Harriet, is the kindness in how you've approached it towards your children, which is, I mean, it's obviously very simple, but at the same time, it's something that it's, you know, when you're stressed and they're stressed, it's such an important thing to remember to be towards your children, isn't it? To be kind to them and remember what it was like when you were going through it, you know, and be constructive. So that's really helpful, and I'm sure that'll help parents who've been listening in this evening.
Yeah, thank you, Harriet, for sharing your experiences with us.
Thank you very much indeed.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.